Good morning. You are listening to Quill Radio on WNTI.org, the sound of Centenary, streaming from Hackettstown, New Jersey. And I'm joined today with my special guest, Professor Matt Mendres. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for asking me.
So what is your title here on campus for anyone that doesn't know?
I have two titles right now. I'm an assistant professor of communication, and I'm also chair of the Communication Writing and Design Department.
Okay. And how long have you been a professor at Centenary?
I've been here 15 years.
15
years. So this is the beginning of my 16th year.
Wow. Has it gone by fast?
It's gone by very fast.
Yeah.
I can't believe how cool. I mean, when I started here, the TV studio was in the basement of one of the dorms.
Wow.
And the radio station was in the top floor of the C building.
And did you previously teach at any other colleges?
Yeah. I did a bunch of adjuncting at places like William Patterson and Kane University. I had a one-year appointment at Kane University because somebody was going off on sabbatical. And I also taught at Caldwell, then Caldwell College, now Caldwell University. I was a three-quarter time instructor, which basically means you're working full-time and you get no benefits.
Fun. That's the best. And would you say that Centenary's one of the smaller colleges that you've worked at?
I've only been, except for William Patterson, where I adjuncted for 1 year. Centenary was pretty small. Caldwell was very small when I was there. So I'm actually more used to a smaller campus than I am to a large one.
And do you like that?
Very much. Very much so. Because a smaller campus means smaller classes. And it also means that if anybody cuts class, I'm probably going to run into them at some point during the course of the day so I can wag my finger at them.
And did you go to a big school when you went to college?
Yeah, I went to Montclair State
for
my undergrad, and I went to New York University for my master's.
And at Centenary, the communication department has undergone some change in the past couple of years. Would you like to speak about that?
Yeah, there used to be a department called Communication and Fine Arts. And that was the department that had, you know, the communication with the radio, TV, and the film studies and the journalism concentrations. But it also included everybody to do with theater, everybody to do with graphic design, all the dance people, all the fine arts people. But about a year and a half ago, it was decided that we would create a new department that was pretty much entirely dealing with forms of communication. So the communication faculty, the writing faculty, which used to be in the English department, and the graphic design people, who also came from Common Fine Arts, formed this new department called Communication, Writing, and Design.
We always talk about that. So you've changed roles as well. But how has that transition been?
It's been a bit challenging only because of the challenges that the school as a whole is going through. You know, we one president left. We're on the verge of getting a new president. So it's been a little hard. I don't say hard. It's been a little more of a challenge to find our feet in this first year. But, you know, we've already presented and had approved a new communication writing and design minor, which will be going into effect at least with some classes in the spring and hopefully into full effect next fall. And we are also in the process of combining the radio television concentration and the film studies concentration into one concentration. So it'll be an RTF, radio television film concentration.
I like that. That's a good idea. Do you currently have any students in TV Production 1 right now?
Yeah, I got eight of them. Oh, actually, no. TV Production 1, that's a spring course. I'm teaching
advanced
production this semester. And yeah, I've got eight students.
How is that going?
It's going well. As a matter of fact, they are upstairs at this very moment.
Really?
Shooting a couple of interviews, one in the studio and one just outside the studio.
Okay. Oh, I remember that.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anything that you'd like to see happen in the future to either the radio and television concentration or the communication major as a whole, besides what you said is joining? Are there any other things that you kind of would hope to happen?
Right now, for me, my priority, besides combining the radio, television, and film concentrations into one concentration, is I do want to bring back journalism as a concentration. Due to various circumstances, one of them being that our journalism professor retired, and the fact that of all our concentrations, that was the one that had the fewest amount of students in it, we no longer offer journalism as a concentration per se. I want to change that. I want to bring that back. At the very least, I'm going to make sure that all of our radio TV courses have more journalism content in them so that nobody's getting out of here without at least a rudimentary idea of how to be a journalist, especially in this weird day and age. But down the road, I would absolutely love to make journalism a full-time concentration again.
My next question kind of relates to what you were just talking about. With Professor Lev having retired last semester, how has that adjustment been with having one less communication professor?
Well, with the journalism concentration no longer running, it's been less of a adjustment than it may have been.
Mm-hmm.
So between me and Professor Gavrilovich and various adjuncts, we're still covering all the classes that need to be covered because we still have journalism concentration students that have to graduate.
Right.
You know, so the school is not going to say, well, guess what? No more journalism concentration. So all of you who are journalism students, too bad. You know, so we're doing what's called a teach out for the journalism concentration students. And
okay.
And then beyond that, you know, I mean, I have my master's is actually in journalism, so I can do just enough of the journalism mm-hmm. courses to make sure that we are properly represented.
Right. And before you were talking about how Centenary is selecting a new president, and that search has been going on for months. And so when we do have a new president, how would that affect your day-to-day here?
Well, I think the first conversation I'm going to want to have with our new president is going to be about, you know, the department as it currently exists. We're still very young. We're only in our third semester of existing, and I want to make the new president aware how brand new we are and how important I feel it is, you know, to give us time, you know, to grow into something. This was pretty much the creation of this new department was in large part the brainchild of the previous president, David Haney. So there's always a chance that a new president might come in and look at it and say, oh, that's an interesting idea, but I don't like it, so I'm going to split you guys back up. My first order of business is going to be to make this new person as aware as possible of how much potential we have as a department and my hope that we'll be given time to grow.
For me, with Centenary being such a small school, I feel like one of the key elements is having hands-on experience, which mm-hmm. we've seen in TV production 1 and 2 for students in the film studies concentration. So why do you think that's important to have that experience?
Well, the main reason is because in television especially, it is really no longer an industry for specialists, except in very few cases. Everyone is expected to have more than one skill set today. 30 years ago, if you were going to be a television reporter, all you had to do was know how to write and how to be good on camera. Today, they expect television reporters to be able to shoot their own footage, to edit their own footage, to create their own graphics for the stuff that's going on the air. Directors are no longer just directors at small places. When I was at News 12, even that's 20 years ago now, I was a director during the week, but when I was on the weekends, there was no technical director. So on the weekend, I had to direct and technical direct at the same time. They called it calling and punching.
Huh.
You know, there's no longer such a thing as someone who's just a photog, you know, a person who shoots footage. They also have to be able to edit their stuff. So that's why I think it's important to get the students on the equipment as early as possible in their college career and make sure that everybody learns everything. You know, maybe when you graduate, if you want to specialize, you know, and make three times my salary, more power to you. But while you're here, you're going to learn everything. And the main reason for that is because I found back when I was still working in television production that the person who understood everybody else's jobs was much better at their own job. You know, if you understand what everybody else on the crew is going through and what their challenges are and what their needs are, you're going to be a lot better at what you do. So I think everybody needs to understand all the various, you know, parts of the machine.
Last semester, I took media copywriting with your former colleague, Ivy Sharmatz, from
mm-hmm.
News 12. Sorry. And we went to the News 12 studio on a trip. Would you like to do more trips like that with the communication major?
Absolutely. Yeah. The News 12 trip was especially fun because, you know, it's my old stomping grounds, but also because it is so almost completely different from what it was when I was working there. You know, the spot where my cubicle used to be is gone. You know, there's a new studio there now with lights and a news desk. And it also gave people a little taste of what I was talking about doing more than one job. You remember that we saw the control room for the newscast for News 12 Connecticut.
Yeah, that was crazy.
There was a grand total of two people
mm-hmm.
in there running an entire studio for a newscast. You used to need at least 8 or 9 people on a crew to do all those jobs. Now you have exactly two people can do it. You know, so that's – I wanted people to have an idea. Like, you know, all these separate things that you learned with me and you thought mm-hmm. just doing one of those jobs was hard? Imagine doing 3 or 4 of them at the same time. You know, that's, I think that was the biggest value about that trip. And yeah, I'd like to get some more trips out there. Trips are hard to book sometimes because they don't always want to really get you, you know, behind the scenes. Mm-hmm. Sometimes if you take a trip to a big, especially a big place, it becomes more of a touristy thing where you're like just walking through the halls and looking at the pictures and maybe seeing a TV studio through a window or something like that.
One topic that is always in debate currently is whether a bachelor's degree is enough for today's workforce. What do you feel about that?
I think it depends on the person. I think it depends on what kind of job they're going for. Yeah, I mean, what people are saying is that, you know, the bachelor's degree is now what a high school degree used to be. And if you really want to find something, you need a master's. I don't necessarily think that's true in every case. In my case, I had to go get a master's because I didn't realize till 5 years after I graduated undergraduate that I wanted to be a teacher. And I found out that there was no way I was going to even be considered for a teaching job in the college level unless I had at least a master's degree. But I know plenty of people in the business, you know, who got their bachelor's and then went right into the business. I mean, one of your classmates is a reporter in Pennsylvania right now. You know, so he just had that job waiting for him right after graduation. Mm-hmm. So, you know, now that said, a master's degree is never a bad idea because, you know, like I said about having multiple skill sets, if you have an undergraduate degree in production or journalism or something like that, and then you have a master's in something like business administration or international relations or, you know, even like religion or government, you know, then that makes you not only qualified to be a reporter, but a reporter on that particular topic. Mm. And you know that, you know, there are lots of reporters who have very specific beats. All they do is write the business stories or the religion stories or the health stories or the science stories. If you can speak a second language, that will make you twice as hireable as someone who doesn't. So you don't have to have a master's degree, but further education is never a bad idea. So I encourage it no matter what you think you're going to need down the line.
One class that communication students take is Mass Communication Law and Ethics with mm-hmm. you. And why do you think it's so important for students to learn ethics about, you know, journalism communication in today's climate?
In today's climate, especially because there is so much really bad journalism being done out there. I don't think the entire industry is necessarily broken or beyond repair. But unfortunately, a lot of the stuff that is presenting itself as news is anything but. And that is first and foremost an ethical consideration. Like we said in class, you're supposed to go to the news to get information, not to have the biases you already have backed up mm-hmm. or reinforced. So that's why I avoid and I urge other people to avoid any news program that has the talent's name in the title, because that almost always means that you're going to get an hour of what they think about stuff. Not necessarily a bad thing. I mean, the best newspapers in history have the editorial and opinion pages, but they are very specifically labeled as editorial and opinion pieces. Whereas, you know, certain stuff that you watch in the evenings on especially the cable news channels, you know, they don't preface it by saying everything you're about to hear, you know, is there's going to be lots of editorializing and lots of opinionating. So unfortunately, I think a lot of people watch those shows thinking they're getting the news when they're not. And that is the number one ethical concern in journalism nowadays. So I think that's why that's so important.
Shifting gears a little bit, to a high school senior right now that's looking at colleges and is maybe wanting to go to Centenary to be a communication major, what would you say to them? What advice would you give them?
I would say, do your research, come to at least one of our open houses, and get in touch with me personally, and I will happily talk with you on the phone or via email, or you can come in person and I'll give you a personal tour to make sure it's a good fit. You know, when I was a high school senior and I know I wanted to go to college and I wanted to learn about television and film, I found that unfortunately the open houses weren't enough, didn't give me enough information. So I ended up visiting William Patterson and Montclair State and Seton Hall just on my own. Well, my mom came with me from the Montclair one. You know, and I got more and better information on my personal visits than I did at any of the open houses or any of the research I did. And that's why I ended up choosing Montclair. You know, I just showed up there one day and there happened to be an upperclassman who was available. And he took me and my mom around and showed us all the studios and the equipment and told us about the classes. And that's what sold me. So absolutely, do your research. Don't just make your decision based upon a catalog or a website. Do your research and go visit the place, you know, at least for an open house and hopefully beyond that.
And then on the flip side, what would you say to a graduating senior from Centenary that's going to enter the workforce, potentially in the communication field?
Don't give up too soon. My saddest memory of college is not even, strictly speaking, a college memory, because we're talking about something that happened afterwards. Within a year of graduation, most of my classmates who hadn't found a job in broadcasting yet just gave up. You know, and, you know, when we were all in class together, we all wanted it bad. We were all very much interested in learning it and getting good at it. And everybody was so jazzed, you know, to get into this industry. And then about a year after we graduated, there was like maybe of like the dozen or so of us who graduated, only three or four of us were actually working in the business. I'm not saying they made a mistake with their life. I understand, like, some of them, you know, they already had met the love of their life and they're ready to start planning for a wedding or buying a house and stuff like that. And you can't do that with a low paying job. I get that. But, you know, what I tell people is, for goodness sake, you know, live in your parents' basement, make little money and get as much experience as you possibly can, because that's how you're going to get in the business. You know, if you want it bad enough, you got to stick to it no matter what.
Now, completely shifting gears. Star Wars time.
Ah, yes.
So what were your first reactions or impressions when you first saw the Star Wars Rise of Skywalker trailer months ago?
I was actually in Chicago at Star Wars Celebration.
Really?
When that was premiered.
That's so cool.
I didn't get a ticket to sit in the arena to watch it happen live, but we were all in the convention center watching it on a big screen. And, you know, I'm old school. I was 9 when the first one came out. So, you know, I was the prime age for Star Wars when it first came along. So every time something new Star Wars comes out, I'm excited. So, yeah, I don't mind telling you that I got choked up watching that trailer.
What was that convention like? What other things did you do?
You've heard of like Comic-Con?
Yeah.
Like in New York City, or the big one they have in San Diego. Mm-hmm. It's like that, except it's only Star Wars.
Oh, okay.
So it's all Star Wars related panels, and everybody who's dressed up as something is dressed up as something related Star Wars. You know, actors come and, you know, sign autographs and, you know, have photo ops and stuff like that. So it's like 3 or 4 solid days of nothing but, you know, Star Wars related stuff.
Did you get to meet anyone?
Oh, yeah. Over the years, I've gotten lots of autographs, and I've met people. Anthony Daniels, who played C-3PO. Mark Hamill, who played
Luke
Skywalker.
Oh,
I met and got the autograph of Carrie Fisher, the late Carrie Fisher, who played Princess Leia. And so, yeah, and I've got my picture taken with all those people. So that's what I have on my wall at home,
cool.
My pictures with these actors.
Huh. And do you have any plans to visit the Star Wars land at Disney World anytime soon?
Eventually. I kind of feel like right now is a bad time to go because it's new and it's going to be too crowded. So I think I'm going to wait for it to be, you know, at least a year and a half before I start making those plans. Because, and again, you know, I'm interested but not thrilled because it's, you know, and again, I don't necessarily mean this as a criticism, but, you know, it's the Disney version of Star Wars. It's not my Star Wars.
Right.
So, you know, I'm curious. I want to go. I'll probably have more fun buying stuff in the stores than actually going on any of the rides. But yeah, I'm going to hold off. I'm too old to wait on a 3-hour line just to go on a ride that lasts 6 minutes.
Yeah. I'm going in December to Disney, 3 days after the semester ends. And I feel like it's going to be crazy.
Yeah. And, yeah. Where, Orlando or Anaheim?
Okay. Orlando. Yeah.
You got to send me lots of pictures.
I will. I'll definitely let you know what it's like. I mean, the pictures look amazing.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But the second ride, I think the one that's open now is Smuggler's Run.
And right, where you fly the Millennium Falcon.
Yes. The new one is Rise
that'll
of
be
Resistance,
open.
I think.
Yeah,
that'll be open like a week before, so that'll be crazy.
Yeah, but that one's supposed to be even more immersive and more detailed.
I don't think they're even going to have fast passes yet,
right.
But I don't want to wait 3 hours either.
You're a serious Disney person because you just know what a fast pass is.
Oh,
you can toss the terminology out.
Oh, sorry. For anyone who doesn't know, a fast pass is where you can reserve ahead of time. Basically, there's the regular line for ride, and there's a fast pass line, and the fast pass is shorter, but you do have to plan ahead. You pick a time slot, and you have maybe a half an hour window to get to that ride, and
so as long as you get there within that window.
Exactly.
You don't have to wait on as long a line.
Right. You get the shorter line. But with these new rides, they probably don't have them. That's why people are waiting 3 or 4 hours.
Right.
One
thing I've heard from people is that if they say if you're going to go, go at night. Because it's much cooler to be there when everything's lit up.
Yes. That is true. And they have one of the restaurants that they built is Olga's Cantina.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think there's actually even food there. It's mostly just alcoholic and non-alcoholic beverages. And it took me 3 months to get a reservation just at that. And you can only stay 45 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think there's a 2-drink max if anyone's drinking. But
I question the wisdom of Star Wars-related alcohol.
There are some weird names. I looked at the menu.
Because to me, you know, Star Wars is, you know, it's for the 9-year-old me, and I shouldn't be drinking.
They do have, I guess kids are allowed in there because they do have the non-alcoholic beverages.
Right.
But yeah, it's going to be crazy. I'm excited, but got to prepare.
Now you're going to be the first person that I know personally who's actually gone. So that's why you got to send me a million pictures.
I will. I definitely will. But I was just wondering if you have plans to go soon or, you know.
Yeah. And actually, by the time we go, our oldest niece will be almost 9 years old. So maybe we'll take her.
Yeah. Kids would love that. And I think the gift shops actually have exclusive items where you can only buy there.
Right.
That's what I heard.
Right.
So I'm sure.
Or
great
you can
shopping.
Pay five times what they're worth on eBay.
Yes. is there anything else you'd like to talk about that we haven't covered?
Only that, you know, to those of you here at Centenary in general and in communication in particular, like I said, you know, now is the time to get excited about what's going to happen after you graduate. So have fun, but also take it seriously. And like I said, if you want it bad, keep wanting it bad. You know, get involved, do an internship, try and plan for how you're going to land after you graduate. You've already got a plan, you know, of what's going to happen when you're not taking classes anymore. And that's the best way to go about it. So, and if we're reaching the ears of any undeclared people out there, please consider a communication major, because in the next year or so, it's going to become even more interesting than it ever has been, because you're not going to be just a radio TV person. You're going to be a radio TV and film person. So things are going to get a bit more intense in our concentration.
Well, first of all, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you.
Really appreciate it. And we're going to take a quick break and I'll be right back. We are back. You're listening to Quill Radio on WNTI.org, The Sound of Centenary. I would like to thank again my guest today was Professor Matt Mendres. Now, the sports schedule for this week at Centenary. Field hockey will be playing against Keystone College home at 4 p.m. this week on the 16th. Also, women's volleyball will be at Brynathyn College at 7 p.m. on the same day. And then this Saturday, October 19th, field hockey will be at Cedar Crest College starting at 11 a.m. Also, women's soccer will be playing against Cairn University at 1 p.m. home on Saturday the 19th. And lastly, men's soccer will be at Wilson College, and that game starts at 2 p.m. Some campus happenings for this week. This coming Wednesday, the 16th, is the final day to withdraw from a traditional class without automatically receiving an F. So for any students out there that, for credit reasons or changing their mind, make sure you get in before that deadline to withdraw from the traditional class. Also, the IHSA Horse Show will be happening at the Equine Campus all day long this Saturday the 19th, and WNTI will be having its biweekly meeting from 3 to 3:30 p.m. in Lackland, Room 243. Also, some events happening in the Hackettstown area for any Centenary students or faculty that might want to get out in the town. Hackettstown's having its Scarecrow Stroll all week long. Great way to kick off some fall events. There's also Fall Harvest Weekend, again, at Donaldson Farms, as well as Tranquility Farms. Also, a great business in town, especially for some Centenary students, maybe on a Friday or Saturday, is Pino's Palette. It's a paint and sip, and they have some really great fall paintings to choose from this weekend, and you can go online for a schedule for that. Also, close by is Chester. And they're having their 36th annual harvest celebration starting at 11 a.m. in the historic Chester Business District on Saturday the 19th. That's a beautiful town. Should be a great day. Also, the Hackettstown Mansfield PBA will have their autumn food drive starting October 20th, this Sunday, and that will go until November 2nd. Thank you so much for listening this morning to Quill Radio, and I will be back next week.